this dude just dropped the mic and walked out, Jared, and came up with something great as far as that trophy where he would take it. But I'm not going to say where.
Okay.
I'll leave
it for
him.
Okay.
He brought up some. Oh, he's back.
Okay.
And we let him on,
sure
we let him on the air because he's 6'5".
Yeah. The look on his face.
Any dude to come
Well, no, I'm just making sure I wasn't getting slandered.
We're getting what?
Making sure I'm not getting slandered.
Man,
I heard
you
like, drop the mic, and
you,
I was like, okay.
No, that was a good thing. You said something that was like, "That's." I wish I'd have thought of it. But that's not in my wheelhouse, but it is yours. So that's, and I think it's great. Well, let's not tease it anymore. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning.
92.9thegame.com. Joined by Jared, who just did your update. One of the things that we are doing this morning is we recap this week of where the MLS trophy went to by the various players on Atlanta United and where Sam would take it and where Bo would take it and where I would take it. We asked Jared, and you said something interesting that, man, that would be kind of cool. So, guy, what did you just tell me?
The dates don't match up. Could you imagine taking that thing to Dragon Con for a whole weekend and then chronicling the journey upon which that trophy went?
Whoa.
Yeah, see why we had him come back?
Be careful where you publish that, but yeah.
that's an idea, huh?
That's a good one.
Man.
That's a good one.
That would be pretty amazing.
So,
as a matter of fact.
I can't even top that one. Of course, Mary Max is nice.
It's nice.
Would it come back? Would it come back undamaged? That's the question.
Probably not.
You have to be able to assume that there's going to be some kind of, you know, minor wearing and tearing. But what do you dress the MLS Cup as, up as, if you go to Dragon Con? Because you got to cosplay it, right? So
R2?
Do you try to Yoda? Do something with the size of the statue and go along with it, like, you know, Yoda and Luke or
maybe put it on like
Jabba
a
Hutt,
put it on like a Roomba
monster.
And let it just roll around.
You could, okay.
I don't know.
Or do you just put like a cape on it and be like, this is the
a cape
super
and the
super
bunny ears or something like that?
Just carry it. This doesn't need a costume. It's
an MLS Cup.
Well, there you go. Well, hell, we might as well open the lines up. 404-741-0929.
You win the MLS Cup.
If you
where
had
would you
the
take
cup,
it?
Where would you take it here in the city of Atlanta? Thanks, Jared. Anyway, Sam and Greg here.
Dragon Con, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good idea.
It is. Was it Labor Day weekend?
Yeah.
Man.
That would be great. You know, as you could take it, you take talk about Atlanta places. Peachtree Road Race, 4th of July.
No, nah, man,
you wouldn't run. You run down Peachtree with the MLS Cup.
Hey, I'm not running. I'm not carrying anything. The whole point. Then you got to hire somebody. You got to hire a Benson to come walking with you and bring it with you. And where's my bell? I got a ding on that.
Ding. What's a Benson?
But let's get back to these bowl games.
Okay.
And quite frankly, I'm not feeling them right now.
Before we get into a bowl game, let me tip of the cap. For a champion, we do have one national college football champion in our state, and that is Valdosta State. They won the Division II championship, and I kind of say that, you know, kind of like biting my lip here because, you know, they beat the alma mater, you know, in order to win the conference championship. But they finished a perfect 14-0, 49-47. They beat Ferris State out in Kansas City yesterday. So they are the Division II champions, the Blazers of Valdosta State University. Congrats!
Oh, you just reminded me of something.
Whoa!
I talked to you when we talked during the week. You said you could not wait to tell me about something that happened since we seen each other last, and you said the visor got beat.
The visor, Coach Visor. You
go ahead.
You're talking about Coach Probst. You're talking about the state championship. Which was the biggest surprise that a lot of people thought that Colquitt would win the Class 7A championship, and they did not. The last game of the 2 days, a congratulations to the Milton Eagles. They won their first state high school football championship. And great, great stories, great football games throughout those 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, over at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The best story to me was Tuesday night, the team from Bainbridge. They beat Warner Robins.
Is that Larisha's area?
No, man. It's the other end of the state. You keep wanting to be.
I don't know. I just know it's a B and it's downstate.
No, this is downstate and down in the southwest part of the state.
Where's she from again?
She's in the southeast part. She's only Savannah, Brunswick.
Brunswick, okay. Brunswick. That's a logical mistake.
There's no Bainbridge, Stu.
Okay.
Well. There's Brunswick, but not Bainbridge.
But you call it the swamp, and that's where the fight starts.
Well, that's where it is. The swamp. You got alligators. They have the house pets down there. But. Bainbridge is in southwest Georgia. They're in that corner right by the panhandle where Hurricane Michael came through.
Okay.
And came through and just really hit that area. And those kids on that team, they got off to a bad start. They were 2-4 after the first six games. Looked like they were going to really struggle. The storm hits. Players are displaced. You know, no power in their house and that type thing. The coach didn't have a way to get them together to practice. They played Warner Robinson next week. They were shut out. They lost that game, but they did not lose a game since. It galvanized that team and that community, and they kept rolling, rolling, rolling. They kept winning, and they get to the state championship game, and they win it in triple overtime. So just an amazing story for that team that survived the storm to come and win a state championship. So, yep, the Bearcats of Bainbridge High School down in Southwest, represented all of Southwest Georgia, all the people down there who are still recovering. So that was a great story.
Well, here's the question. Did anybody have a post-game interview with Coach Probst? That's the one I want to hear.
Yeah, no, that was
something. That's like talking to Les Miles after a loss.
That's up in the locker room. I don't know how that went with the fellas. Probably not very. That's the second straight year that he's come north and lost a really close game for the state championship. He lost 49 seconds left on the clock when they scored to get the lead, and North Gwinnett came back and beat them last year. They hung the number 49 up all over their school to remind people of 49 seconds. You left 49 seconds on the clock. And so that's what their theme has
been.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
No, it got them to the championship game, but it didn't get them to win it. So that's that was the story this year.
404-741-0929, Sam and Greg on this.
And we're asking people, where would you take the MLS Cup?
Yeah, if you had it, Sam and I back together for the first time since last week and hearing the escapades of this cup making its way around to different parts of the city. If you had the cup for a day, much like the Stanley Cup, where would you take it? Where would you like to see this cup? The obvious places have already been mentioned. All right. So you
know, has it been to the varsity?
I don't know. That's a good one.
I don't know if it's been.
You're probably taking away somebody's guesses there.
I'm sorry. Well, where would you take it here in Atlanta? That would be really cool.
Now that would be there's places you could take it to, but it really wouldn't have any significance. Like there's that statue across the street from Peachtree Plaza of Andrew Young.
Yeah.
Put it next to that.
Yeah.
Have a picture with you that. That'd I mean, cool. Something like that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would. That'd be one of the places I'd take it to. All right. Sundial, I don't know.
Take it to the Sundial?
I mean, but that's just a restaurant because it doesn't spin fast enough.
But you're on top of the
exactly.
City.
Exactly. Exactly. So I don't know that that'd be a place, but let us know where you would take it. Listen, man, the only thing I can ask you about this next is we talk about the bowl games, the upcoming bowl games. The next one is going to be on Tuesday. Does the participation of UAB in this bowl game bring the resurgence full circle? They were there. They went away for a minute thanks to
Coach Bear Bryant.
Yeah, Bear Bryant snatched their program away from the grave.
He shot him down from the grave. And they even in spite of that, they brought football back, and it's been successful. It's flourishing, and they're going to get to play in Boca Raton, Florida on Tuesday.
That's a nice place against Northern Illinois. DeKalb, Illinois.
Yeah.
A place known for having the richest soil in America.
Wow.
Because if you drive around the country, I don't know if it still is, but it was known for that forever because they grow corn there. And so when you go around the Midwest, you see little signs and in farms that you can see when you're driving down the road, DeKalb corn.
Okay.
That's from DeKalb, Illinois.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Cindy Crawford's also from there. Huh. John's in Decatur. John, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, man. Might be a little petty, man, but first I'm taking that thing down to Flower Branch. Then after that, I'm just taking it for a short trip over to Athens. Hopefully it rubs off.
Whoa, okay. Look at that. Look at
here's
John.
The thing. Now, the thing about that is, and John, appreciate your call, it's going to live in Flowery Branch anyway because that's where Mr. Blank's offices are for both teams, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, but he may keep them at the family headquarters over in Buckhead.
Either way, or there'll be a replica there. He's going to keep that there for just the same reason John is doing that. The same reason programs and teams that have been successful, they keep those championships visible to the upcoming players, to the future players, so they can see what they've been through. And if you got two teams, okay, fine. The guy who owned the Tigers, I know this a little bit because, my wife, but I think it was before the Illiges. Anyway, they had success with the Pistons, and I think he also owned the Tigers.
Okay.
But anyway, we've seen that before. He also owned Tampa Bay Lightning, and they won it as a hockey organization. So they had the cup for a while. So, yeah, I could see that cup sitting in the offices up in Flowery Branch.
Now, he also said it ought to go by Athens. What is he doing in Athens?
He's making a statement there. I mean, one of his locations I think is going to be there. But, yeah, I see his point for taking it over there.
A little inspiration.
Yeah.
A little inspiration. And that's what I think. That's what I think the championship does for all of our teams, really, is make it a possibility and make it something that they can visualize and something really that the fan base can realize. Do you realize Monday, when I was going to cover the parade and the stream, I go into City Hall, and there's one of Atlanta's finest police officers.
Okay.
You know, and he sees me wearing, I have a wool cap that I picked up Sunday that had the Atlanta, you know, Atlanta United logo and Champions.
Okay. On the,
I walk through the door, he says, you got to take that thing off in here. You can't wear that hat in here. He's a big Georgia fan. He thinks that the A and Champions makes Alabama. He can't visualize Atlanta and Champions being in something. That's how long we drank the Kool-Aid around here. We can't even visualize it happening to us. You know, and all of his friends are working this parade, right? The 40, and he's like, you can't wear that in here. I said, wait a minute, let me get a look at that. I said, yeah, we won something. We won a championship for a change. It's hard. It's hard. It really is.
I'm going back to John's point because I think I really dissected that Detroit analogy, but I'll come up with a better one. The one that happened in Chicago had all kinds of Michael Jordan Bulls trophies in that United Center. The Chicago Blackhawks saw that because they use that same venue.
Yeah.
Okay. And when Michael went away, it was kind of a lull. There's kids right now that are freshmen in high school that have seen the Blackhawks win 3 championships. Didn't know nothing about that drought for those longest. Think about the kids who grew up in Boston, too.
Yeah.
With the Red Sox. You know, of a certain age, they've seen nothing. They've seen 4 World Series.
Yeah, but for the longest by the Red time. Sox. For the longest time, they were struggling.
It was like going back to 1918 or 1917, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, 404-741-0929. Sam and I talking about the Cup. Where would you take it if you had it for a day? Coming up, we're going to talk college basketball with DeShawn Tate later on in the hour. We're going to go on the other side of the glass. Nick is in Woodstock. Nick, welcome. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning.
Morning. Hey, I would take it to the Claremont Lounge and see if Blondie could crush it.
You know, and the funny thing is, Mr. Crenshaw said the same thing, except he didn't give that last part. He just said, take it to the Claremont Lounge.
Crush it.
It's in Atlanta. It's an Atlanta landmark.
Atlanta landmark, and it's a rite of passage in this town to go
pour you a couple canned beers in that thing, yes, man. That'd be that's a great one, actually.
Big Ed is in Marietta. Ed, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Right. Morning.
Yeah, I'd take the Cup over to Georgia Tech, over to Bobby Dodd Stadium, where it all began.
How yeah, you know that? What? I was going to say that because people still have a problem connecting Atlanta and UGA because they're in Athens and so on and so forth. So I was thinking, why eliminate Tech from all this?
Yeah, but this is where it started. Remember when the
Understood, yes.
started, it was there. And we wondered if they were going to be take that vibe from Bobby Dodd Stadium with them when they went inside, which they were able to do. But it all got started.
I am ashamed that I don't know the answer to this, and Ed, you can answer. Sam, you can answer.
Go for it.
Is there a replica or a Heisman over there? The Heisman Trophy?
I don't think there is.
That's where it's.
Yeah, but there's a statue of Coach
Right, that's what I'm saying.
A statue out front of the stadium.
Yeah, that's a
but there's not an actual replica of the Heisman Trophy
now,
somewhere?
No, you got to win it.
I don't know.
You would think there would be one there.
Yeah,
you?
Somebody got to win it.
No, I understand that, though, but in symbolically having one there because of
Heisman coach.
Yes. Yeah.
Heisman coached by 10 different schools, Greg.
All right. Well, that's why I was asking. I said okay. I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
Hey, Ed. Have a big day, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
We're still wondering where you would take the Cup if you had it for a day as we reminisce about the past week in Atlanta United and their championship and the Cup made its way around the city. The question before we go to break here is this. Do you think, Sam, it's still in this country?
I think it's probably outside the country. I would guess. That's an interesting question.
404-741-0929. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on a... I can't do it. I just can't do it. You got to do it, man.
Game day Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you. Falcons and Cardinals, pregame 11, kickoff at 1 tonight. You got Eagles and Rams, pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8, and in between Hawks and the Nets. Basketball action, that's going to be over on V103, pregame at 2:30, and tip off at 3. Speaking of basketball, not on the pro level, but on the college level, we welcome the first of many visits by our college expert, Mr. DeShawn Tate. And more importantly, he woke up.
He's ready for
he's
us.
He's ready man. For us.
He's ready for us today.
You know, he's ready to talk college basketball, and we're going to need plenty of help, man, because, you know, listen, it's football season still.
Well, he's up early because we – and Michigan State's playing today, right?
That is correct,
see,
sir.
That's
Eastern Standard Time.
He's ready. He's
whatever,
ready.
Whatever the reason, we're glad to have you here, man, and we're going to be talking to you regularly moving forward. All right, Deshaun, talk to us like, you know, we just got here because we most of us haven't been following college basketball. The hardcore fans like yourself have. What do we need to know right now about what's going on in college basketball?
Yeah, it's feeling like December Madness is what I like to call it. You don't want to be in the number one spot right now, I'll tell you that. You know, Kansas started out ranked number one and had probably about, what, a 20-point lead close to it in Indianapolis against Michigan State. Ended up only winning the game by three all of a sudden in that same on that same night. Duke blows out Kentucky by 34 points, and they were a top-two-ranked team. They get number one. They hold it for 2 weeks. They lose to Gonzaga. Gonzaga gets number one, hold it for 2 weeks, and then they lose to Tennessee. And now Kansas is struggling to be number one at this point. You almost don't want it, you know, but that's the good thing about college basketball. It looks like it's going to be one of those years where nobody's a clear-cut favorite, and almost anybody can stand on that ladder and cut down those nets in April in Minneapolis.
Deshaun, you know a lot of people talk about football and how they want to see certain matchups, and they feel like we don't see these matchups. We see these cupcakes. We don't see the matchups that we want. We get these matchups early in the basketball season. In our part of the world, we're always focused on the football, but we seem like a lot of these matchups, and that's why the top spot changes hands so much. What do you think about that? You know, it's something that football fans wish they could get out of college football but can't get, but college basketball has found a way to provide that.
Well, I like it. I like it a lot, honestly. You know, and I think that's the crazy part. We were just talking a little bit at the beginning of the show about Michigan State. Is, you know, that was one of the one of the staples of Michigan State and Tom Izzo, as he would say, you know, we'll play anybody, anytime, anywhere, and that's what they would do. They would beef up their non-conference schedule, and a lot of those times, you know, in November and December, they would lose those games, but that's what helped prepare them for runs in March. And now you see all of the teams seem like they're kind of doing it to try and prepare themselves. And so when you have so many different teams that's trying to do that, you know, you're going to see a lot of really good games early part of the season. And that's where you're seeing a lot of these, you know, not just Maui Invitational, which was probably the more premier preseason tournament, but now you're getting stuff like last year, PK80, when Phil Knight turned 80 years old. They put like 16 teams out, all Nike-sponsored teams, and just a lot of really good basketball programs that are willing to participate more instead of just, you know, a couple, instead of just a couple of them.
Deshaun Tate joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I got two things I want to ask you about, so I'm going to go with the story that started off this college basketball season, and tell me what's happened. Zion Williamson and Duke. I mean, they're not the story as much anymore. Have the adjustments that have been made toward him, or is it his game has been figured out? What do you see when you talk about this team and that player now?
Probably more so. I mean, they're still going to be a really good team. I think most of the hype that was surrounding Duke outside of Zion Williamson is the fact that a lot of people thought they were going to go undefeated, and they beat Kentucky by 34 points. I don't think we've ever heard of that. And what really felt like a Kentucky home game, the way that they travel, is just in Indianapolis. So when that happens and you have the best, you know, coach in one of arguably the best coach ever in the history of the game, and then you have, you know, probably the most electrifying and kind of athleticism. And let's not get it twisted. Zion Williamson is not just an athlete. He has a skill set. He does little things. He gets on the floor after loose balls, second chance points, hustle points. He does a lot. And then he's got R.J. Barrett with him, who came in number one ranked in the country. And then, you know, Cam Reddish came in ranked number three. And Duke is a really good team, but they're inexperienced. They haven't gone through those growing pains yet. And some of those things, like when you go and play Syracuse in the Carrier Dome, or you go up to Charlottesville and play Virginia, that defensive system that they have, they haven't experienced those nights yet where they just can't throw a ball into a rock into the ocean and get frustrated and the shots just aren't going in. But outside of that, when you look at who should be number one and who looks like number one, they look like a number one ranked team because typically they have the type of players that a number one ranked team in the country would have.
I know they have that. The other thing, like you said, is experience. And, I mean, that's why they lose to the team that they lost to. And also why we love the tournament, because you can have something like we had finally had this past year where a 16 beats a 1. The experience can kick in. That's the reward of a team that gets guys who love playing college basketball and stay together. We saw that with Loyola Chicago. So that's the thing. Don't have the athleticism of a Duke, but sometimes that experience of guys who played together 2, 3, 4 years can make the difference and end up beating a team like that. And Coach K will tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, because it's not a matter of talent. You know, they've got the talent, but they also don't go very deep, and they don't have like the greatest bench in the world either. And you know, when you're looking at that, there's a ton of other really good teams out there. I mean, we were just talking about Kansas, and you know, Michigan is probably, to be honest with you, Michigan is probably playing the best basketball in the country right now. When you look at their resume, they've played 3 top 25 ranked teams between Purdue. They beat them by 20. They played Villanova at Villanova, a rematch of last year's title game. They beat them by 30. And then they played North Carolina by 20. So that's, I mean, when you're looking at it, you know, you're looking at the resume and you're looking at impressiveness and, they've got a really good team. Tennessee, all of a sudden, you're seeing a lot of typical football programs that are playing really well basketball right now. I mean, Tennessee's one of them, and it happened last year as well. Last year was Clemson again. Ohio State's playing really good basketball. A lot of these teams are really typical basketball football programs playing really good on the 94-feet hardwood.
Yeah, Florida State falls in that list too. Talk about a couple of schools here locally that took on top 20 teams yesterday, and what did you get from them? First, start with Georgia. They had Arizona State.
I was a little bit surprised by the way that Georgia kind of came out. They played really well. I always felt like, and this is going to be for the whole season, not just yesterday, Rayshon Hammond, who's a sophomore out of Norcross High, he's going to have really good games. He's going to have, I mean, not just mediocre games. He's going to have really good games for this team to be able to compete and kind of stay in. He did that on yesterday. They got up by almost 20 points on Arizona State yesterday. Yeah. And then ended up dropping it, you know, at the end of the day. And they're going to have to shoot well from three as well, and they're not the greatest three-point shooting team. Now, they're a better three-point shooting team than we'll see on Wednesday when Georgia Tech, well, I think it's going to be a road game at Arkansas, and they're going to have their hands full as well. But, it's going to be a struggle. And Tom Crean's still trying to, you know, implement some things. He's still trying to put some things together, so... but Georgia's going to struggle. Georgia's not really a good team right now. I'm just going to just be honest about it. They're not really a good team right now. But they will come together after a while. You've got to get some of these players. I know we keep talking about this, Sam. Get some of these players to stay home. But they're going to have to do that. And then on the other side of that, let's talk about the team that also played a top 20 ranked team, top 25 ranked team. Inarguably, I like to say that they are the best team in the Peach State, being Georgia State Panthers. They're really good, man. They're really good. I really thought that was a game that they had yesterday, but they had to keep it close. They couldn't really close, keep it too close, and that was probably the more difficult part. But DeMarcus Simons, everybody talks about him, but he's not the only guy on this team. They have a really good team that, by you know, who I think is one of the most underrated coaches right now in Ron Hunter. He's going to have these guys ready to go, and you better be ready to pay close attention to who Georgia State is going to draw in the bracket in the event that they get in as a one-bid league out of the Sun Belt, because they're going to be ready. They're playing for a 14 seed right now.
DeShante joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. So you got Kansas up at top, followed by Duke, Tennessee, and then the team that just in college basketball, they remind me of Wisconsin in college football. They're always there. They always make some noise, but they just kind of get in the way because they never finish the job, and that's Gonzaga. Now these guys are sitting at 9-1 right now. What do you think this program at the end of the day is gonna do nationally?
The crazy thing is, it's just so hard to say what they're going to end up being, how good they really are, because, you know, you're sitting here looking at it. They beat the number one team in the country in Duke, who got number one because Kentucky's really not that good, so it's weird. And then they turn around
and lose to North Carolina.
And, yeah. Yeah, well, turn around and lose to North Carolina, exactly, who's really not all that great either. They're not the Carolina of old or that we've seen making it to the national championship game 2 out of the last, like, 3 or 4 years. So, and then they lose to Tennessee, who's really good, but they don't seem great. They're not a great team. And that's the thing about Gonzaga. I think this Gonzaga team is a good team. It's a pretty good team. I wouldn't call it a really good team, but it is experienced. Per usual, But I don't think they're great. And I heard Dick Vitale say something yesterday, like, mark my word, I'm telling you right now, you've heard it here first, they're going to go undefeated after this game tonight where they lose to North Carolina for the rest of the season all the way up until the tournament. Yeah, no duh. Like, they're playing the West Coast Conference. They're not playing anybody. And that's where they had to beat. You know, that's what they had to beef up their non-con schedule. And it's not a surprise. The toughest team that they're going to play for the rest of the season is probably either going to be San Francisco or St. Mary's, perhaps. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that, you know what? It's December 16th. It took all this time for any guest that we've had on the show all year long to come up with a duh. that was the first one of the year, man. Congratulations to Sean. Listen, I'm going to finish with this because we have to. And I know it's not something that you relish talking about, but you guys, it's sitting at meaning Michigan State at 8-2 right now, are looking up at your nemesis, who are undefeated, and they're sitting at number 5 in the rankings. Your thoughts on this Michigan team?
They are so good. Like I said, I think that they are playing the best basketball in the country, and they have the toughest resume as of so far. If you're not looking at this stupid, crazy net system of these different quadrants and all this other stuff that's going to be really wacky, and then nobody understands. But, you know, the thing about Michigan is that they play tough note. They play hard-nosed defense, stifling defense. They're a tough team. They're going to rebound. You got to bring your construction hard hat and your lunch pail when you come play these guys. And they might be even better on the road than they are at home, you know. And they've had a couple close, you know, wins over the last couple of weeks. But outside of that, they've just been completely obliterating the opposition. They're experienced team. They have a really well-coached team. John Beilein is going to be in the Hall of Fame at some point. They're just coming off of the national championship game where they did play the best team in the country last year, and they look like they just picked up where they left off.
And they're hungry, too.
They lose Duncan Robinson, who was one of their better shooters. He was a senior. Nothing great. He's replaceable, but who we were questioning was not replaceable was Mo Wagner.
Yeah.
But he looks replaceable because they have a 20-year-old freshman from Canada named Ignis Brezdikis, and he's looking extremely good. Very hard name to say, but very easy to watch.
Especially at 7:30 in the morning.
Doesn't matter. That's why you use words like duh. Hey, Deshaun, listen, Matt.
Good point.
We appreciate it. We're going to be talking to you throughout the season. Go get some sleep and enjoy your Sunday, partner.
I don't know. It's college basketball. I'm bright and early, man. I got plenty of games to watch. No more sleep.
All right. Talk to you later. Man, he came out with a phrase that's so Michigan, so Detroit, at Lunch Bucket City. I remember hearing that first time from Coleman Young.
Wow.
Going back in the day. We're going the other side of the glass next. That's Bo. God, he said something. Anyway, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Clouds out here.
That's all right. Listen, we praying for all of y'all that got to go to a mall on this Sunday. You know, this time of year, going to a mall, going to church first, and then come home changing and going to a mall.
Going to a mall.
But not as much as it used to be because everybody's shopping online.
Not everybody.
Not everybody, but most folks. The majority of them are doing it online.
There's some folk in the mall.
They're definitely there.
You have to know when to go and what time of day and where to park.
Yeah. Monday, 9 in the morning.
There you go.
You ready to go on the other side of the glass?
Let's go.
Time for Bo.
Unique stories and a unique take from Bo.
Wow. Wow.
It's the other side of the glass on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So it's definitely a tale of two teams for the Los Angeles Lakers the last couple of days. Starting out with on Friday, whereas the Houston Rockets kicked the crap out of the Lakers 126-111, where at one point the Los Angeles Lakers played defense with their hands behind their backs.
James Harden.
So they could keep from fouling the beard, James Harden, which didn't really work all that well. Still made 15 of 16. It did work for Steph. When asked about it, LeBron has said, we were just trying to defend without fouling. You got guys that can sell calls really good, meaning Chris Paul and James Harden. So you got to try to keep your hands out of the cookie jar.
Can't stand that dude.
Is James Harden, you talking about LeBron or Harden?
No, Harden.
So is Harden maybe kind of the Craig Biggio of the NBA in these fouls with Biggio, you know, how he used to lean in.
I'll tell you who, well, yeah.
Or leaning into fouls, is that going to start being called like the whole flopping thing?
Who's the guy that's the gold standard for that in baseball that used to drive everybody crazy? I want to say.
Is Biggio just sticking his little elbow out?
And before, but even before Biggio.
Barry Bonds with his.
Barry Bonds was a good hit. And long before him, there was a guy named Ron Hunt. There was a guy named Ron Hunt that was known for getting hit by pitches. He wore a baggy uniform, because he went up to the plate looking to get, I think it was with the Phillies or something, and he always looked to get hit by a pitch. He got on base more than anybody because he had his big old floppy uniform on.
Now, we'll give credit where credit's due.
Yes.
As for last night, the twin triple doubles as LeBron James and Lonzo Ball each go for a triple double.
Who?
In the Los Angeles Lakers 128-100 win over the Charlotte Hornets. That's right. You heard it here.
Who?
Now I'll give credit where credit's due. LBJ and Lonzo Ball.
Both
had triple doubles. Now, the world is still awaiting Daddy Ball's comments on this.
Where's he been?
As am I.
That's been my question. He's in witness protection program.
Where is he?
Because the Lakers have, you know, put a kibosh on Daddy Ball speaking in front of a microphone.
Here's the Zapruder tape that you want to get a hold of. The conversation of the meeting that took place someplace that involved Magic, LeBron,
and Daddy Ball.
And Daddy Ball.
Wow.
Talking about his visibility or lack thereof.
Could that be why he's
disappeared? Think there was a paycheck written by the Lakers?
No, I don't think there was a paycheck.
Cease and desist, maybe?
We don't want to move your son to
another
team.
They have the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office there to...
But you know that was a conversation.
Now, here's something that might date you or make you feel a little elder.
Okay.
Here's Lonzo talking about LeBron James. Ever since he got here, it's been a dream come true for me, Ball said. I've watched him my whole life. He was my idol growing up. This is Lonzo Ball talking about LeBron.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's how people talk about MJ. I mean, of course, that's
17,
cats
how many
that
years, though?
Mine and maybe y'all's age.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
That is kind of crazy.
We haven't seen Daddy Ball, man. Daddy Ball.
Listen, he's in the same place that water is and them shoes.
Yeah. What happened to the bottled water anyway? He was supposed to sell us bottled water. Yeah.
Dang, it's on the same
cabinet. That kind of fizzled.
It's on the same shelf with them shoes that nobody sees anymore either.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. I know it. Man.
So over to the NFL.
Yes.
Where on Wednesday, Los Angeles Raiders wide receiver, I guess if you could call him that, I'm not even sure if he even got on the field this last time with the Los Angeles Raiders, was put on season-ending IR with a leg injury and then was promptly suspended. Again, for the third time, after missing all of 2016 off of suspensions for smoking weed, Martavis Bryant has been yet suspended again for a violation of his terms of reinstatement. Does not say that he failed another drug test.
But,
come on, man, Martavis Bryant.
How the hell are you going to get fired on your day off?
Exactly. Great John Witherspoon.
You can't teach any of these kids some.
Oh, man.
Well, I think
the
key was when they went to his locker and saw about two cases of Funyuns in there.
There's something going on here. There's something afoot.
That and some Sprite.
Dallas Cowboys running back Zeke Elliott was the first player penalized. The first offensive player penalized for the helmet-to-helmet targeting rule. He was fined $26,739 on Friday for lowering his head against the Philadelphia Eagles last week against Corey Graham. He is appealing the fine, which is the second in a few weeks. Now, I don't know how I feel about this one. Zeke Elliott just got fined $13,369 like 3 weeks ago. After his Thanksgiving Day celebration of throwing $21 into the Salvation Army bucket.
Who does not have a conversation between the Salvation Army and the NFL and say, this is publicity for both
100%
of us, and
it
looks great on TV.
Yeah.
And by the way, it could be Dallas-centric because you have it there every Thanksgiving. Who's going to be in the bucket? You make something bigger out of it.
Because he has done this 2 years in a row.
Exactly.
They chose not to fine him last year when he himself jumped in the bucket.
And then he put his quarterback in there this year, picked him up after he scored.
Now, did it have something to do with the money fact or what? Like,
who knows?
He literally just ran up to the bucket and dropped $21 in it and got fined almost.
That's the dumbest thing in the world. That they had
$13,500.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
I like how the NFL, you know, picks and chooses. Of course, he wasn't flagged on this play for leading with his helmet, but he was fined for it. And that's kind of what they want because it brings awareness to him. But wow, come on, refs. They only miss like four or five of these calls a week, but that's a completely different radio show. So Melvin Gordon apologizes to his fantasy football fans. As you all know, or you probably know, Melvin Gordon missed Thursday night's beatdown Los Angeles Chargers over the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, it wasn't a beatdown. They won it with a very gutsy play that I do on Madden all the time. You go for the win. You play to win the game,
yes,
right?
Yes, you do.
If you got a two-point conversion play that you think is going to work, they're like 5-for-7 on the season, the Chargers were. Why not? More teams need to do this. But Melvin Gordon did not play in that game. Comes out and apologizes to his fantasy owners. If you lost without my help, I'm sorry. Crunch time in these playoffs, and I couldn't come through for you. Melvin Gordon, as a fantasy football player, we do certainly appreciate that. But if you're one of these guys that tweets or emails or sends hate texts to NFL football players for how they're doing on your fantasy team, then you probably need to get a life.
Yeah.
Because that's not what it's all about. But we do appreciate you, Melvin Gordon, for at least noticing.
Hey.
As I do have Melvin Gordon on a team that I could not play. I'm playing against Jarrett Smith, actually. And Jarrett Smith started Damian Williams, who went ahead and scored 35 points against me for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm. As the backup's backup.
Yeah.
That's what's going on the other side of the glass.
All right. Quick question. Mr. Crenshaw.
Yes.
He was talking about saying L.A. Chargers. Phillip Rivers. Same draft. Before that, Eli. And then Ben Roethlisberger. Is it a slam dunk that of those three, Phillip Rivers has the career that you would want the least because the other two have got the rings?
Yeah, the rings. But he's got to live and play out of the West Coast.
That's what I'm saying. So the money is a wash. They got the same amount of money.
Got the money.
But the lifestyle.
That's great.
In San Diego. Well, and they're all going to the Hall of Fame.
And now he's playing on a high school stadium. They could do a little better than
that. Well, he won't be next year, will he?
No, but right now.
I'm just saying it's not a slam dunk that you'd have him at number three.
I know.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.